It is time for the Baseball Insider, and joining us is MSO News Sports Baseball Insider Andy Carboni. Andy, welcome.
Happy to be back once again, Bill.
Well, last week it was David Ortiz. This week it's Tom Brady. A couple of the greatest in the last couple of decades here in the greater Boston or New England sports scene. And I wanted to ask you about Tom Brady because there is a Tom Brady baseball connection.
Yes, there certainly is. Not many people know this, but Tom did play baseball growing up through high school, and we're heading into college, and he was actually drafted by the Montreal Expos as a catcher. He got drafted in the 51st round. In fact, there's some video out there that you can find on YouTube, I'm sure, of Brady actually taking batting practice, while a member of the Patriots, of course, at Fenway, and he did hit a couple home runs to right field as a left-handed hitter. So, you know, Brady is more than just a great football player. He could have been a great baseball player as well.
Man, stuff you might not have known. All right. What's the very latest with Major League Baseball, you know, has to be the update on the lockout situation. So where are we with the lockout, Andy?
Well, Major League Baseball and the Players Association making little progress as they work to end this current lockout. Two sides met again on Tuesday, but they failed to agree on terms for a new collective bargaining agreement. So that all but ends the league's chances of avoiding a delay to the start of spring training camps, which do get underway in just about a week and a half. So you're not going to see that happening. Sides reportedly still remain apart on numerous economic issues, including a starting minimum salary for first-year players, revenue sharing, and a competitive balance tax. So the longer this drags on, the longer things get delayed, and we start worrying about, will the season start on time? Remember, opening day is March 31st at this point. So, yeah, the window is closing, as they say. So we'll have to see just what happens.
Andy, the delay in spring training, that doesn't have anything to do with what happened with the groundhog yesterday, did it? I mean, I don't think so, right?
Well, if you want to blame the groundhog, I guess we can. But, you know, got to blame the ones with the big bucks, players and owners. They're causing it. But we can throw in the puck to Donnie Phil as well.
Yeah, blame those other rats. All right, now let's go to some Red Sox organizational news. You have an update for us.
Yeah, Baseball America has released its organizational rankings entering the 2022 season. The Red Sox enter the year with the 11th best farm system in the league. That's 10 spots higher than it was heading into the 2021 season. According to Baseball America, the trio of shortstop Marcelo Mayer, first baseman Tristan Casas, and second baseman Nick York are the most enticing players in the system. So some potential positive news for Red Sox fans going forward with some new blood on the way, and who knows, Red Sox could take some of that young blood and potentially trade it off for other things that the Red Sox might need, but it is good to see that the Red Sox are building back up the minor league system.
Yeah, I think you must have thrown that in this week, because I think we were talking about Baseball America and Sports Illustrated from my youth or whatever, many years ago, absolutely, yeah. All right, Andy, what other Red Sox? Oh, I know there's a lot of stuff out there from Major League Baseball and the Red Sox as well about touting female coaches.
Yes, the Red Sox have become the first team with two female coaches after hiring Katie Crow as a player development coach with the Portland Sea Dogs recently. Bianca Smith was hired as a minor league coach in 2021. So the Red Sox are moving ahead in that department and getting involved with the bringing females into the organization, so that's great to see.
Now, the other story, Andy, I started to read, tried to read this last week, was on the analytics and the start time of Red Sox games, but where I was reading it, I didn't, you know what it was? I think it was one of those articles that I couldn't read the whole thing of because they wanted me to subscribe, but now that I'm thinking of it. So, what is the deal with Red Sox game start times and analytics?
Nothing really official yet as a start chimes changing, but they have hired an analytics company to look into that fact, and they want to try to maximize the TV ratings is what it's all about by varying the start time. So they're trying to see what are better times if people are actually going to be sitting in front of those TVs to watch games more often than not, whether it's a night game or an afternoon game. And they'll look into that as to adjusting their start times at Fenway. So it'll be interesting to see what that study comes up with. I mean, to me, I like earlier the better. That's always my my thought process. I mean, to me, a weeknight game starting at 7:30 doesn't make a lot of sense. I can understand it when it comes to playoff time, because of TV ratings and whatnot, they push the start times back to 8 o'clock or so for maximize the commercial dollar out there, but even afternoon games during the weekends, I mean, why can't they start at noon? You know, or why do you got to wait till 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Let's get things rolling along here, and especially with games taking as long as they do these days. You know, you might have to start them at 9 o'clock in the morning to get them over at a reasonable time. So we'll have to see how this all plays out, but we'll be interested to see if anything comes of it.
You know, another thing too, Andy, not to belabor this, but you know, as you mentioned about starting earlier, I wouldn't disagree with that at all. But I also like the I kind of like the 4:30 football games nowadays. You know what I mean? Because you know, you can do what you want in the day, come back, and there it is at 4:30. It's like the early. It's like you're almost like your 6 p.m. baseball game in a way. But
I can see where you're coming from there. But again, those 4:30 baseball games could be going to 9 o'clock at night too. So they have to worry about trying to. Make the game move a little more, and then I'd say you see the worrying about start times of games changing a lot as well.
No, I get that, but I'm sure this is just for the East Coast consumption, for the Red Sox, New England consumption for TV, as you noted. But I mean the playoffs and so on, they also cater to the West Coast time zone, or at least take that into account with those later starts, because you know, an 8 o'clock start there is what a 5 o'clock start out there. So whatever. All right, Andy. Speaking of television, what's up with NESN Classics?
Well, you can hop on the couch this afternoon at 3 o'clock, and you can watch the best of Dustin Pedroia being featured all this week on NESN Plus. Today's game is the game from July 31st of 2016. Red Sox scored 5 runs in the top of the ninth with 2 outs to beat the LA Angels 5-3 on the West Coast. Pedroia hit a 3-run home run. In the ninth to put the Sox ahead at that time, 4-3.
All right, Andy, let's shoot back to the big picture, Major League Baseball. What other notes do you have from MLB?
Well, Robot's going to be calling balls and strikes in some minor league games this season as 11 AAA teams will test the automated ball and strike system. With the Red Sox, not one of those teams, fortunately. If the robot umps do work out in the minors, they could get a call-up soon. As Commissioner Rob Manfred has said, he wants to see robot umpires in the major leagues within 3 years. I'm not a huge fan of this, but things are changing left and right, and I can't seem to slow it down, Bill. And this is going to bring some more major change to the game, so we'll see what happens there.
I don't know. If you were really angry at the ump, what would you do? Kick it and take the batteries out? I mean, and then go back to the dugout? I mean, what could you do?
Yeah, know? Exactly. I mean, your options are... few and far between. I guess maybe you take it out on the catcher. I don't know what you do. You're the batter. You don't like a call at that point. There's no one behind the plate there with you.
All right.
Who do the managers go out and argue with? I mean, it just takes so much out of the game.
Yeah, all that passion removed. Anything else, Andy?
Well, former Cardinals manager Mike Schilt has accepted 2 new jobs. One is a role with the Padres, working with their player development staff. The other is in the MLB's commissioner's office, working under Senior MLB Vice President Michael Hill in a role that involves on-field technology, discipline, and umpire relations. And a historical marker that used to stand in the birthplace of Jackie Robinson in Georgia heading to Kansas City. The marker, which was struck by gunfire last year and now headed to the Negro Baseball Hall of Fame Museum, will be put on display going forward.
Nice. All right. All right, Andy, I got to ask you one other thing. Any thoughts of you as you look at the Red Sox roster as it's currently so-called constructed? Any reaction to what we're looking at now?
Well, I mean, the roster really hasn't changed all that much. They've brought in a few potential starting pitchers into the mix. You potentially have lost Kyle Schwarber, who was just a great addition at the trade deadline last year. I'm really not too sure why the Red Sox aren't pursuing. Well, obviously they can't pursue him right now, but didn't seem like they were going to pursue him before the lockout started, and there's rumors floating around that he's getting a lot of interest from other teams, one being the Rockies at this point. Red Sox will have a hole at second base at this point. They really don't have that solidified yet. They could use another right-handed power bat in the lineup, and of course they always need help, as all teams do with the pitching staff, whether it's especially the bullpen situation with the Red Sox at this point where they've already added some potential starting pitching. So, obviously the offseason's not done for Chaim Bloom and the Red Sox when this lockout eventually ends. And obviously when it does end, you'll see a lot of movement by plenty of teams because there's still a lot of free agents sitting out there that did not sign before the lockout started. So there'll be another free agent signing frenzy, which will keep baseball fans riveted until the first pitch is thrown on opening day.
All right. Great way to end the podcast, Andy, and we'll talk again soon.
Looking forward to it.
There he is, baseball insider Andy Carbone. I'm Bill Newell on MSO NewSports.com.